Yeah, so thanks very much for the invitation to speak. It's great to be here and visit Perimeter in person. So today I'll be talking about W1 plus infinity and 4D gravity based on some papers from last year and also upcoming work with Monica Pate, which will hopefully appear this month on the archive. So I'm going to do a little review of celestial holography, even though I know some people here are very familiar with it. So basically, celestial holography is a program that tries to recast 4D amplitudes in terms of highest weight representations of the SL2C Lorentz or global conformal group of 4D asymptotically flat space. And lately, there's been a lot of work in our community on this W1 plus infinity symmetry, which was found by looking at an infinite collection of currents that arise in celestial holography corresponding to soft graviton insertions in 4D amplitudes. So it turns out that these currents obey a W1 plus infinity algebra, and the action of these currents on massless, generic massless hard matter was also computed last year. And all of these analyses of the W1 plus infinity behavior relies on the 2D local nature, relies like very heavily on the 2D local nature of massless particles, which I'll review. But massive particles, by contrast, don't have any obvious notion of 2D locality, and these the previous analyses can't be readily extended to looking at graviton action on a massive external particle. So there's been a lot of work on the W symmetry, but none of it includes massive particles yet. So what I'll do today is I'll try to explain a way to generalize the construction that appeared previously for massless particles in order to incorporate the action of the symmetries on massive particles. And this will involve modifying the soft factors formulas that have appeared for soft factors for the infinite tower of soft theorems that correspond to these currents. So the outline is, first I'll review some celestial amplitudes and facts about Lorentz transformations of massless and massive particles. Then I'll discuss a tower of infinite soft theorems that have been found previously and how the form that was found previously can be modified so that they can be transformed easily to the conformal primary basis and understood in terms of W symmetry. And then I'll show how to get the action of the W symmetry on massless external matter, and then finally how to get the action of W on massive external matter. Okay. And feel free to interrupt and ask questions anytime. So get started. So the first thing we're gonna review is massless celestial amplitudes. And let me know if I should write bigger also. Okay, so yeah, like we said before, in celestial amplitudes, we want to scatter conformal primary states that are in highest weight representations of SL2C, so we get amplitudes that transform like correlation functions of global conformal primary operators. And for massless particles, usual momentum eigenstates, which we can label with a P, pk, are labeled by an energy, which I'll call omega k, a helicity, sk, and a null direction. So they point towards some point at null infinity, which is parameterized by a 2D celestial sphere. So we can label that direction by points z and z bar. Okay, and so for a massless momentum, it's just parameterized. Usual way we parameterize it is in terms of its energy multiplied. I guess I'm using q hat here. And this q hat is 1 plus z bar z plus z bar. So these are going to be very familiar to people who have seen celestial holography. Just under SL2, very explicitly under SL2C, these points transform under Mobius transformations. Okay. So massless particles are already local on the celestial sphere. And to get something that looks like a primary operator, we want something that's diagonal under rotations along this the null direction or the point z and z bar, and also diagonal under boosts along that direction. And so massless particles are already diagonal under rotations. They have a helicity for calling S, and they're not, but they're not diagonal under boosts. And we'll be looking a lot at SL2C transformations of stuff in this talk. So I'm just going to write explicitly how P transforms under Lorentz transformations. We transform it to some primed point. We find that this is just our usual Lorentz transformation. And it acts on the factors as Q hat goes to 1 over CZ plus D, Z bar plus D bar, times the Lorentz matrix multiplying Q. And omega gets multiplied by these factors. Okay. So yeah, very explicitly here, this energy is not diagonal under boosts. And so to get something that is, we transform to a boost eigenstate. And I'll write it over here, I guess. And we do this using a Mellin transform. Which for massless particles is just given by integrating over energies with some factor of omega k to the delta k. And so we define this thing as our state with weight delta and spin or helicity S. And you can just see from how omega transforms. Oh, sorry. Wait for a second. Mic is working. You're good. So yeah, you can just see from how omega transforms that this thing transforms with weight delta under a conformal weight delta k under a conformal transformation. Okay, and then the last thing I wanted to talk about with massless particles is their polarization. Maybe I can put it on this board too so that it's all in the same place.
I mean, so
this is too small.
It probably was too small. That's why it was on Zoom. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can everyone, is it too small? Should I write bigger?
It is.
It's too small? Okay. Yeah, sorry, I have really small handwriting. Okay, so should I rewrite anything up here or is everyone okay? Okay. Okay, so. Yeah, so the last thing I wanted to talk about with massless particles is their polarization. We can write the polarization of a massless particle with positive and negative helicities. Like this. Is it better? Yeah. So I've written this with this explicit 0.z0 put in here, and this is like similar to the reference spinner that you put in spinner helicity polarization.
But is it actually the same? I don't see why it's different.
Yeah, so it's actually the same because when you take usually what we do is we take z zero to infinity, and then when you take z zero to infinity, this becomes the usual like dz q hat or dz bar q hat that we use like standard in papers from Andy's group. And so yeah, this reference point z zero z zero bar is actually needed for the soft factor to transform covariantly under SL2C. And I'll just write down the transformation of this vector. So it has spin one, which will tell you how it transforms, but this thing will transform to I think I'm probably writing too small again. Sorry. Okay, so yeah. If you transform the reference point, so you take, yeah, you transform z0 to z0 prime, this thing will transform like spin 1 under SL2C. So, yeah.
So can I ask you again what the reference point indicates? So
It's like equivalent to the reference spinner in like a spinner helicity. So I think, yeah.
Like you didn't need to do this. So why did you do this? You really wanted everything to drain.
Yeah, I want everything to be manifestly covariant. And the motivation, which I'll talk about later, is that to identify the W action, it was really important to work in like a conformal basis where everything was covariant.
You can't imagine everything bilocal, which is a little different.
It's not bilocal. It's like, yeah. So I'll talk more about like the dependence of this point in the soft factors and in amplitudes like later in the talk. But the point is that it drops out in all the cases that we look at, but it doesn't drop out if we're trying to talk about massive particles. So for massless particles, we didn't need to actually consider it, but for massless particles, when we're trying to generalize it, it turns out to be important.
But it should just be a statement of gauge
invariance
and
dropouts
for massive.
It's a statement of gauge invariance. Yeah, so it turns out you can show that this thing dropping out is equivalent to like momentum and angular. You can use momentum and angular momentum conservation for it to drop out of the massless case and for the leading and subleading case generally. But it turns out for the higher ones, which is what we care about, for the W action, it doesn't drop out unless you use a particular form of, we're seeking a form where it drops out. And we don't need to do anything different for the massless case, but it turns on the massive case, we will.
You're looking for a form of the soft factor.
Of the soft factor.
You can just train to find a soft factor that's actually like gauge invariant and coupled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the ones that have been, yeah. And we know that like the thing that should correspond to the W action should be gauge invariant, and we want to construct it from the bottom. Yeah. I think you'll see how it happens throughout the talk. So, but this is just the review. So, right. So we can talk about states, boost eigenstates, and celestial operators. So, you just the operators are just denoted with a delta and spin for massless particles, and they transform like you expect. And then, it has weights. Usual weights delta plus S and delta minus S. And then we just write celestial amplitudes. We do this Mellin transform and get something that looks like correlator of operators. Okay. So this is all for the massless one. So for massive particles, I'll just be talking about scalars today. But yeah, massive particles, of course, go to time-like infinity. Here, I'm trying to write bigger. Okay, so yeah, momentum eigenstates now go to time-like infinity. And so we have our A mu, which is now massive, has a mass, and you can also parameterize it by a point. I'm calling it W. On ADS. So this parameterizes the hyperbola at a time like infinity, which is ADS, Euclidean ADS. So the momenta are just written as M times P mu hat. We're now.
Sorry, I arrived a few minutes late. Sorry,
yeah,
you
sure.
Said it in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Can you just say in a few words, what is the question we are trying to solve?
Oh, yeah. So I guess the question we're trying to solve is that all of the W action, the W symmetry in action has been written and has used the 2D locality of massless particles in its construction. And to try to find the action of the symmetry on massive particles, we need to generalize that construction somehow because there's no, it relies on the collinear limit between massless particles looking like a 2D OPE, and there's no structure like that for massive particles. So we're trying to figure out a way to generalize the construction to see how the symmetry acts on massive particles.
You can probably also phrase it as how do you want like the W infinity to couple to massive matter?
Yeah.
If you want it to reverse engineer. And
so there are a bunch of people that know a lot about soft limits and collinear limits and so on in usual variables. Are we translating those usual variables to new variables? And what are we trying to discover new physics?
I think...
Or none of the two.
I guess we're trying to just... So I guess the new thing is like, what is the symmetry action of this W, 1 plus infinity symmetry on massive particles? And it's figuring it, so yeah, people have written down soft limits before and collinear limits before. There isn't going to be a collinear limit for the massive particles, but it's essentially going to be, yeah, modifying some of the, this W algebra corresponds to the infinite tower of soft theorems in momentum space. We want to figure out the right form of that that translates into the W symmetry action. So that, yeah, the W algebra controls some part of the soft limit, not the entire thing. We want to figure out what part that is, and yeah, and we derive some new action on ADS, which is what parameterizes massive particles.
Let me just ask something very nice. Mm-hmm. So normally, we say that it's collinear and soft divergences and soft physics is related to the fact that it's hard to distinguish two collinear particles or a particle from a very soft particle. But if you have a massive particle, that's not the case, right? So they are easy, and so there would be no particular issue to resolve. So
yeah.
Does it mean that that it is a surprise that we find some simplification in soft and collinear limits even for massive particles? Or on the contrary, the fact that we did not manage to find it is just a signal of the fact that physics-wise, we don't expect anything there.
So I think there's a simple collinear limit for massless particles, but the soft limit, you know, exists for massless. Having a soft particle, the soft factor doesn't care whether the external matter is massless or massive. You can always have a soft factor. So we're just talking about the soft factor and how to get the algebra purely from the soft factors without thinking about whether there's a collinear limit or not. So is that helpful?
Okay. We need collinear limits to get the algebra within the gravitational sector. And the question is like, can you consistently like with a bonding mass contribution for all the massive particles that are still there?
Yeah. I think you guys did at least explicitly look at mass.
I think for Pedro, the thing that Pedro isn't aware of is that people revealed an infinite dimensional symmetry groups that goes way beyond the usual leading limits. And then this has been revealed in the massless sector, which is, you know, the group is really, it's really a group of symmetry of the S matrix, then it has to apply to all kind of states. And she's trying to extend the action of that group on the entire picture of the S matrix. And then, you know, once you have that action of the symmetry group, you can study and look at its validity, stability of the equalization. Does that answer?
Yeah, that's very mathematical. I want the physical observable.
But symmetry group, that's the charge of symmetry is a physical observable.
So
there's nothing more physical than that.
But ABM, she's getting a higher moment or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, some of the physical observable measure all the charges of symmetry here. She, you know, people really get infinite hours of charges of symmetry, which are physical observable. And then the question is, can you go beyond the massless sector for these infinite sets of observables?
You're right. Yeah. You said the bonding has to be like an intermittent aspect, and now you have to have like more and more.
Yes. So, are you? I guess you're not familiar with this, these papers about the W symmetry. But yeah. So basically, there's an, and I'll describe what it is too in the talk. Okay. Yeah. If it doesn't become clear, like I'm happy to talk more after. Or, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so right, this momentum is time-like momenta. We can parametrize them. Using these coordinates on ADS. And this n mu these are a point, they correspond to a point on ADS3, and to get something on the celestial sphere, integrate this thing against a bulk Deprandt propagator bring it to the boundary of ADS3. I think for the sake of time, I won't write that out since I won't use the form of that later in the talk. But yeah, there's an analogous Mellin transform where you integrate over ADS3 to write this as a local point on the sphere. Okay, so now I'll talk about conformally soft operators. So we can consider we can consider the soft expansion of some amplitude where one of the legs is taken to be a soft graviton. So some amplitude, so this is an omega, the energy of a soft graviton, and q hat its direction, and there are some other particles in the amplitude. We can write this as a sum over powers of omega starting at -1 to infinity.
I think I was confusing something. I think it's related to what Sabrina said. I think if I understood correctly what she said. So we are going to take massive and massless at the same time and taking the soft and collinear limit of the massless stuff, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I was super confused.
Oh, okay. So, sorry.
And we were discussing collinear and soft.
Oh, no.
That will not make sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have massless plus matter. Okay.
Yes, we always have a massless soft thing. Okay. And yeah, massive or massless external stuff. Okay. Okay. So, right, so let's just take our omega q hat to be a graviton momentum. So the leading term is like the Weinberg soft factor. I'll get more into that, the explicit form of everything later. But for now, I'm going to talk about conformally soft operators, which isolate the terms in this soft expansion. So if we want to isolate AL, so I'm going to suppress all the other stuff in here. We can just, so in momentum space, this is the limit as omega goes to 0, d omega to the L plus 1, omega, A omega. Okay, and I guess, yeah, I want to divide by L plus 1.
I just don't see, is it that on the top line, is it omega squared or omega to the L?
It's omega to the L, yeah.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Please tell me if you can't read anything. Yeah, it's better. Yeah, I don't want people to be confused.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah, so we want to isolate the L term in this expansion, and we can do that by multiplying by omega to get rid of the pole and then taking L plus 1 derivatives. Okay. And there's an identity that we can use, assuming that the amplitude is sufficiently soft in the UV, to write this as a limit instead of a Mellin transform. Okay. And what you'll notice here is that this limit looks exactly like a massless, so there's other stuff in here too, but it looks exactly like just the regular Mellin transform for a massless graviton. So we write this as the limit as epsilon goes to 0 of epsilon times a positive, and say it's a positive helicity graviton with dimension minus L plus epsilon, which probably no one can read. Okay. So, and this is what is defined as a conformally soft graviton. Of dimension minus L. All right, and then, yeah, so this operator has dimensions minus L plus 2 over 2 and minus L minus 2 over 2, which is exactly what you'd expect for, you know, graviton at dimension minus L and spin 2. So the point is that this thing that picks out the Lth term in the soft expansion is already an object of definite conformal weight. So we don't need to talk about the external particles being in the primary basis. We can just think about the soft graviton itself being something of definite conformal weight. And the way we found the original W1 plus infinity symmetry was by working in the celestial basis, where everything is manifestly SL2C covariant. And to see how, I'm going to talk about how they follow from momentum space soft factors. And to do that, we're going to want to work with soft factors that are also manifestly SL2C covariant. So no, yeah. Sorry.
What is celestial basis?
Yes, the celestial basis means these boost eigenstate bases, and then the analog for massive. Well, people haven't done the massive one, so. Okay, so now I'll talk about this infinite tower of soft theorems. It's better to use this one first. So we had this expansion into the ALs over here. So I think people are familiar with the leading and at least the leading and subleading ones. So the leading A minus one. Is just the sum of the soft factor SK double prime. I'm writing with a double prime because I'm going to modify it later.
So are you just going to use the soft factor from like the literature, or are you going to try
it? So I'm going to start with the soft factor that's from the literature, and then I'll discuss how to modify it so that we get so we land exactly on W when we transform to conformal primary basis. Which just involves making it a conformal primary. So the soft factor, so yeah, the amplitude in the leading case factorizes into this product of the soft factors multiplying the amplitude without the soft graviton. And it's just usual.
And this is like, if you specify the level of the
yeah, so this is not corrected. Yeah, this is going to be important. So, yeah, the leading and subleading soft theorems aren't corrected. The subleading one, which I'll talk about that in a minute, is corrected by a finite number of operators. And then beyond that, there's really no control known or expected form of the full general thing. But I'll get into that, yeah. So this is the leading one, subleading. Involves an angular momentum generator. And this, yeah, this is just working only with scalars right now, so.
Is it like tree level?
These ones are valid beyond tree level. Leading, yeah. Leading and subleading. Yeah. Sorry, yes, just leading, yeah. Okay, we can also just say we're just the leading. So far people have worked only at tree level really with a lot of the W. So there's been some work on extending W, but yeah, I guess for the purposes of this talk we can just think about tree level. And corrections from higher dimension operators at tree level, for example.
Sorry, can I ask a question? So for the massive case, we introduce the analog Marine transform for massive case, or you just stay in momentum space for most of the time?
I'm going to stay in momentum space for most of the talk, I think, just due to time. But there's an analogous story in the conformal primary basis. Okay. Good. Any other questions? So yeah, this L is the.
Something, but you tell me if it's fair or unfair. But
sure.
You told that the interesting thing about these infrared divergences is that we kind of know how to resum them, and we understand that they are really physical. If we resum all loops, they exponentiate, and then they become something physical that gets traded by resolution of detectors and so on. Isn't it a bit sad to discuss them at tree level? Since it's one of the few corners in physics where we understand things, where we can a priori try to learn about resummation and finite coupling and so on. And
that only is
exactly that corner, we stay at leading order, we stay at tree level. Why? Is there a level? Why do we need any of this?
I think, okay, so the exponentiation is...
It's just
it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, we talk about the infrared divergence from the leading soft factor that exponentiates. And I think, yeah, here we're talking about a symmetry that comes from the whole tower of the soft expansion. So it's like a different kind of question, I think. Yeah, so this isn't, and using this infinite tower actually isn't, we aren't staying exactly in the zero energy limit. We're using the entire tower, so it's in principle the full, like the full graviton, with like put into the soft expansion, and we're just looking at a part of it that has a, some nice symmetry action.
And I think there's an interesting question that how are you going to extend this, like not quite exponentiation of like the, but like this factorization of the soft Hilbert space beyond the leading soft order.
Yeah.
Run into when you're looking at these charges, because you can see there's something special about like leading and subleading. That would be pretty weird to, like, you have to subtract every over term to try to check it out as a charge. Somewhat interesting. Like, the W-infinity generators don't naturally look like soft plus hard when you go beyond, like the rest of the tower. And that, I think, is interesting to play with the kind of stripping off the part that's just iron divergent, because you might be interested in exhibiting the form before.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about some symmetry that appears like with when you include all orders in the soft expansion, not just the leading, the higher divergent part. Yeah. Sorry, I can't hear you.
Can you clarify the statement about the quantum action of the simulated theorems? I mean, do we expect them not to hold, or do we expect them to hold? Why is it hard to answer the question?
So personally, nice picture when you try, you write down these charges and then you want to say like, can I create a representation of the algebra that I expect, like just using zero energy mode versus using kind of like finite radiation would contribute to the other mode. And if you want to go to subleading, you can see that the mode that you needed to introduce to get rid of this iconal like soft issue appears in the definition of the soft charge for subleading. And so like from that perspective, you can kind of just use like the gravitational phase space to isolate like the loop correction from purely like symmetry perspective, which has a flavor. Nice. But if I try to go down the tower, I don't know how to do that. It's not obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like the one loop correction to the subleading software basically comes from this higher divergent phase you're getting at leading order for like the whole.
Sorry, but what is the statement then, to go back to something the paper asked, if I understood correctly, what is the statement of what is exact and what is not? Leading is exact.
Leading is exact.
So leading is exact to one loop? Is that the statement, okay?
And you can write it down in a way that like, doesn't have any specific bars or
okay. And sub.
You could try to subtract the loop and the leading off, but it seems like the structure of the charges gets more complicated when you're trying to only
Okay, so the statement of doing it for all numbers, not all orders, is for the leading, because then for sub we have to go to one, and to sub sub we don't even know.
Yeah. No, I mean, is there any statement about like being like some like number of loop exact at like a given subleading order, or no? Like
not that I know of. I mean, it's just like they aren't even exact at tree level beyond subleading. So yeah. Yeah. Okay, right. I guess, yeah. So for the purpose of what we were working on, we just want to have, the question was sort of like, how do we get an algebra action at all for the massive particles? And so the simplest place, the simplest thing to do is tree level. So that's all we've thought about. Loop corrections would be a great, obvious thing to look at also. Okay, good. I don't have a lot. Okay, I only have 20 minutes. So, I'll just keep going and see how far we get. Right. So, yeah, from the literature, there is a proposed form of the infinite tower of soft factors. And so these people, Lin and Zhang, use gauge invariance to argue that there's a universal part of the L soft factor that has a 1 over Q dot P, and then a non-universal contribution. So, there's this part that factorizes, and this other part which they call the non-universal part. And this SKL
Now, is this, the second
part which changes everything to infinity symmetry, or with that because of the symmetry, so I'll just write this. There's some stuff on the top, but for answering your question, so yeah, there's this 1 over Q dot P here, which in the massless case becomes a collinear singularity. And in the way that the W algebra was found before, they used a collinear limit and a contour integral to extract this part that, so this is going to look like 1 over z minus zk, where z is the location of the massless guy and zk is the insertion of the external guy, external massless guy. And so they project out, like doing that contour integral projects out all these non-universal terms. Yeah. So
one could try to say that these interview level, if you like only look at the algebra of a certain single velocity set of modes, but it's still there no matter what the.
Yeah. So, yeah, this contour, doing this contour integral is like a projection that projects you onto just this part of the soft graviton action. Yeah. Anyway. So. So, right, so at tree level, the leading and subleading aren't corrected. The sub-subleading, which is L equals 1, has a finite number of corrections that involve like RF squared, R squared phi. And then beyond sub-subleading order, even at tree level, there's not really a known or expected form of these non-universal corrections generically. And yeah, so the other thing we talked about being important for the W algebra is it's conformally covariant. And the soft factor is actually not covariant under SL2C as it's written. There's a problem from this factor Q dot P. And a straightforward way to generalize it, to make it covariant, is to complete this into an angular momentum generator. And yeah, I'll just. So basically, you can write this Q dot P, or sorry, Q dot DDP, it's 1 over epsilon dot P times epsilon dot P Q DDP. plus or minus 2 hat dot p. So now we've added a term that's non-singular in q hat dot p. So this is part of what they would call non-universal, and we're free to pull some of it into what we call universal. And this thing is going to just become another proportional to epsilon q times L. So using this modification, we can propose a new form of the soft factor for massless particles, S prime, and this is going to be epsilon dot p squared over q hat dot p. So my F plus is just defined. That's for ease of notation later. Yeah, so it's just products of these angular momentum generators divided by epsilon dot pk to the L plus 1. So a nice feature of this form is that it exponentiates. It's been found before in the literature on amplitudes and soft factors. But one thing you notice about it is it's not gauge invariant because of this 1 over epsilon dot p part. Later we'll show that this non-gauge invariance drops out in the construction of W algebra, but it is a conformal primary as long as you transform this reference point in the polarization. So when you transform the reference point, this will transform to if you just turn through doing all the transformations on the soft factor, it's just exactly something of weight minus L plus 2 over 2 minus L minus 2 over 2. And it's exactly like, the primes on the point here are the transform point, and the prime on the soft factor is this other soft factor. Sorry about the prime notation. But so this has the same weight as a conformally soft graviton. And we can use it. The next thing we're going to do is use it to extract the W algebra. But
What is this S prime with only one prime? I got lost with notation.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So S double prime is this old proposal, and this thing is valid for L equals 1. Whatever. Yeah. So it's supposed to be for higher L. Generalization of that thing for L is minus 1. This thing works for all L, and it's a covariant form of the soft factor that works for all L.
For the universal
for the
part,
yeah.
You have added also this piece from the non-universal to retain S and to see.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to, I'm trying to figure out how much to include here.
Is this expression related to the way the W up to the infinity acts on the head?
Yeah.
So this should be something where it's like roughly supported on I plus A perfectly, and then it has a form where it's like a multimodal permeator to make it look like it's a primary wherever the graviton was on the sky.
So yeah, this is just the massless. I'm just talking about massless stuff so far. Yeah. So this is a proposal for the massless soft factor. It's also primary whether or not the thing is massive, but we'll see there's a little more complication in the massive case. But in the massless case, yeah, what I'll try to talk about now is like, if you're working, if you say Z and Z bar are independent, you can then extract the modes of this thing, and it's like the action of a massless graviton on a massless external particle. Yeah.
Sorry, I missed a bit the point.
Yeah.
What's the role of this S from single prime in the formula on the left?
In the formula on the left?
You're saying there was an old proposal and there's a new proposal?
Yeah.
What's the new proposal?
Oh, this is the new proposal, is that there's this S prime. So this is just going to be the part
they just replace
that we call the universal part.
So you replace that prime by S prime?
Yeah. And you do that by like adding a couple of the non-universal pieces back into the what they call non-universal back into the
system. Why is this first formula useful if there is this non-universal part? How do I extract so?
Right. So yeah, I guess this is just the general thing for any theory. There are some theories in which like maybe those, I think the goal is to understand the universal part, what should be called the universal part, and then work with the universal part, and then understand the non-universal stuff as like corrections on top of that eventually. So right now we're just trying to think about what is a natural thing to call the universal part, and guided by symmetry, we think it should be this part that corresponds to the W symmetry action. And then we can think about, so some theories like self-dual gravity have W symmetry. We can think about, you know, adding things on top of that and trying to, in a controlled way, to try to think about the full non-universal terms. But yeah. So right now we're just looking at, we're trying to extract the nicest part that we can control first.
My question is even more naive than that. Mm-hmm. This non-universal part, does it vanish in some limit? How, is it a perturbation in some sense?
It doesn't have a collinear singularity.
So, yeah. It doesn't have a collinear singularity. And, yeah, it's just, it's theory dependent. And, yeah, there's not much more that's been understood about it in general. So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, maybe I'll just, I think it's probably better for just, I want to show you how to get the W algebra out of these soft factors for the massless case, and like a lot of the new work was generalizing this to the massive case, but I can at least just explain how that goes, and then I think it'll be less confusing. So, yeah, so to get the algebra, for the W algebra, what we need to notice is that conformally soft gravitons have primary descendants, and that's just a fact about their SL2C weight. So anything with this weight minus L plus 2 over 2 minus L minus 2 over 2 has a primary descendant. But for the soft factor, primary descendant, yeah, just explicitly comes from, yeah, so anything that has this weight, you can take L plus 3 derivatives of it, and it will also transform like a primary. So this thing will transform to Cz plus D. Thank you. primary descendant of weight minus L plus 2 over 2 and L plus 4 over 2. Sorry, I brought this wrong. Okay. And it turns out that when you take these derivatives, it doesn't depend on the reference point in the massless case, which is also the same thing as this doesn't, there's no gauge dependence. Basically to interpret these things as W symmetry, we use this idea that soft theorems can be interpreted as symmetry actions. So we think about interpreting the soft factor acting on a hard particle as an infinitesimal symmetry transformation acting at the point where the soft particle is inserted. I'm going to just say things in words now for the sake of time. So yeah, for the leading case, leading soft graviton theorem, there's a translation or a supertranslation symmetry. Subleading, there's rotation or superrotation symmetry. And the symmetry algebra of these symmetries can be found by extracting the modes of these operators, so decomposing them in basis modes, and then looking at how those modes commute with each other when acting on hard particles. And labeling the modes correctly was an important part of identifying the symmetry algebra for the W symmetry. So we're going to start labeling things by the h-bar weight of these positive helicity soft factors. So we're going to introduce P, which is h bar, which is just L plus 4 over 2. And we can find the action of the symmetry without going to 2-2 signature or using collinear limits or anything, just by taking an integral over the plane instead of taking a contour integral. And that's the thing that we'll generalize to the massive case, which I don't have time to explain, unfortunately. So this delta MP denotes the symmetry action of the mth mode of the weight P soft factor. And this thing is going to be an integral over the plane of Z bar to the P plus M minus 1, Z bar 2p minus 1 of sk prime 2p minus 4. Okay, so in this p starts at 1, then goes up in half integers. So this is the translation, so this is 3 halves, 2 is the SL2C. Lorentz transformations, and we're working in the wedge where all the modes are between 1 minus p and p minus 1. So the action in the conformal primary basis can just be found by taking this to the conformal primary basis, and you can show that these obey the W 1 plus infinity algebra . Okay, so I think I was too ambitious in trying to, what I was going to try to cover in this talk, so since it's 3 o'clock, I'll just say in words. So this soft factor, so we found the action of W, and we proved that it satisfies these commutation relations without having to invoke anything about collinear limits. We just take derivatives of these soft factors. And the reason that this works for the massless case is that when you take, remember our soft factor, it has this 1 over Q dot P. So if you take a dz bar of 1 over q dot p, there's a z minus zk in there, and it localizes. These number of derivatives will localize, and this just becomes some local action on pk. So for the massive case, what we did, and what will appear in the paper, is extended this to a form where there was no dependence on the reference point in the graviton polarization, which is not trivial. So we didn't have to care about the fact that there was dependence on it in here because it dropped out when we took the derivatives. That doesn't happen in the massive case. So we had to work a little harder to find the right soft factor. But it turns out that there's a canonical choice for that. And you can just do this exact same procedure with the corrected soft factor for the massive case in here to extract the same modes and derive the same algebra. And the algebra looks like some derivative operators acting on ADS3. So yeah, in the massless case, you have translations, SL2C transformations acting on the sphere, and then the further tower. In the massive case, there's just the components of the massive momentum. There's the SL2C action on, or SL2R action on ADS3, and then further tower of derivative operators. So, and then you can also, basically the form of these soft factors in the massive case is also really nice. It's just a product of Brelchtin boundary propagator times some angular momentum operators, which makes it also nice to transform to the conformal primary basis for massive particles. So, but the goal of this work was to show that you don't need to rely on anything about 2D locality or collinear limits to think about the action of the W algebra, and there's a nice action in terms of operators on ADS for massive particles.
And one question there, like the descendant of the soft factor when it's massive now, is it like zero, or is it like an ultra-real? Like what's the support?
Support.
It's not a delta function anymore.
No.
So it's scared on the whole.
Yeah, so the primary descendant, so yeah, you take these number of derivatives, you get a delta function because of the dz's hitting the 1 over z minus ck.
Versus in your case?
In the massive case, it becomes just the product of some bulk boundary propagator times angular momentum generators.
And so then the point
is very simple.
So it's not a contact term. Now basically you have like the matter charge is like quota Machin 1 or something supported on the whole.
Yeah. But you can still take the integral over the entire sphere. Okay, so yeah, and I guess other next steps would be like examining loop corrections or also thinking about spinning particles. I think the generalization to spinning particles is going to just, like in the massless case, it's very straightforward generalization. I think in the massive case, it will be too, but that needs to be worked out. I think that's it. I'm also happy to talk more about the part that I didn't get to. Anyone who wants to discuss it,
Are there any questions for the audience?
What kind of representation of W infinity do you find in the massive case?
I don't really know a good way to think about it, so that would be great. It's some derivative operator action, and I'm still trying to figure out what the right geometric interpretation of it is.
Does it look like the massless representation?
No, this is going to be. I mean, it should look like a smeared version of some sort of.
I guess the massless. You can think about the massless W algebra as diffeomorphisms of a plane at celestial, or a plane at null infinity. And so I think there's a way of thinking about the action of massive particles, or sorry, the action on massless hard particles like that. I'm not sure what the right thing to think about is in terms of the action on massive hard particles. So that's definitely another, probably the next project is going to be figuring that out.
It's like an Anik operator generalization of that. Hyperbolite supported.
Yeah, it's acting on ADS. Yeah. And so another interesting question would be higher dimensional generalizations of this also. What's the representation? Yeah.
Excuse me. So for the massless case, how is your calculation related to Octavio Guomo's recent paper where he you're also working on momentum space, I assume.
I think he's essentially doing the same thing, but for the massless case in spinner velocity variables, and it looks nice there.
Calculation rely much on the twister inside, so
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if you can sort of relay the Greek work and share some new lights on the twister construction. Twister seems really hard to talk about massive, right?
Yeah, I guess so, like, right. So for the massive case, if you try to use spinners, you have to use two spinners. And I mean, I think Alfredo's working on something related to this, but and there's some like questions about what's happening, and I'm happy to talk about that more afterward. I don't have anything like concrete or anything definite to say right now about that. But right, I guess one question is like there's also a reference vector you have to choose for the massive momentum, and here we're talking about scalars, so that dependence isn't really important. But yeah, there's a question of what's the right. Is there a natural good choice if you're trying to generalize to massive spinning particles also? Yeah. And what algebra, is the algebra like different acting on scalars or spinning particles? Yeah.
Okay.